What's up, XCFM? You're coming up here live midday podcast. Don't have a name, but we do have some participants. We got myself, Busy RG, King of the Beast, Syracuse Pride. Fellas, how we feeling?
What's going on, guys?
Monday. Every day feels like a Monday. Today actually is Monday.
Feels like that's the second time I've heard that quote today, King.
Probably because it is the second time you heard it.
All right. So we decided we wanted to drop a midday podcast. Listen, Uber guys, we've got nothing better going on during the workday because our jobs. Well, I'm on lunch. That's what we're going to blame this on. I don't know about the rest of you fellas. Pride's retired. So this guy literally has all day to do anything that he wants, and he chooses a podcast. So we appreciate that.
I chose to lose the JMO first before doing this. So.
So with that said, we decided we wanted to discuss the most recent mock draft for team draft coming up here. So the most recent one was Elio's mock draft. He clearly went for chaos. I think he actually put that in the title of it. So we want to touch a little bit about that, and no greater way to start the chaos off than with Nick. So who wants to go ahead and discuss that pick for us?
I mean, I'll touch on it. If Elio's intent was chaos with this mock, I mean, that starts it off, but I mean, it pretty much is chaotic towards you. This is a really personal shot. That Nick, if Nick goes this route, it's really personal, honestly. I don't know how you could probably stay in the league with a character like that haunting you. But I mean, the dominoes of this, I really don't know. I mean, if you look at, he starts off that AFC East, and Nick's not someone to avoid. You don't hear people admit to avoiding Nick, but who would ever admit to avoiding the commissioner? I mean, you probably risk your spot in the league if you do chirp off like that. But Nick's a late-time player. He desires people who play late, people who don't go to bed early. So I don't know. So Brapp at the Jets, he's out of there. I mean, sure, me to the Bills, that makes sense. It's not chaos at all. Chaos would be putting me on another stupid decision like San Francisco or, you know, Las Vegas. But sure, they're open. If they're open, if Rob does ask them up, I'll take it. I play late. Nick plays late. I mean, he hates my play style, but I think maybe my play time trumps that. So, and Sparty to New England. Sure, and maybe except for the Lions. Let me see the Lions were taken 8 picks before. So, sure, whatever. Whoever's my.
I will say that probably skill wise that probably makes some pretty competitive games in that division the way it's laid out. Like you said, Pride probably won't happen from a scheduling perspective, but skill wise, I think Elio wasn't too far off there.
Yeah, perhaps a solid player and. Sparty, is as well. So it would be competitive, at least. Nick wouldn't just roll over that division. Us three would have a say in that. So sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure if. I guess I shouldn't say I'm not sure. Seeing Sparty as anybody other than the Lions is intriguing. Just looking at the AFC East as a whole, that's obviously Nick taking the Dolphins would suck. But the other team in that division that would shock and surprise me is just seeing Sparty there again. Mm-hmm. Not that he wouldn't take the Patriots, but just seeing him as anybody other than Detroit is a shocking surprise.
Yeah, and considering the options that were available at that point, it looks like the Giants are available, Minnesota's available, Tampa's available. The Rams, Pittsburgh. I mean, there are many better options than New England at 24. So, I would expect Sparty if he can't get the Lions, I would expect him to migrate towards a better and more fun roster than New England. New England's going to be 30-31-32. I mean, some poor sucker is going to be stuck with them.
I will say this in defense of New England, as I just finished up the little team investigations, their cap situation is super friendly, and they're probably coming in with, I would say, in three seasons, they should have like a top five cornerback duo with the two rookies that they drafted this draft. So that's a positive, not the project that I would undertake, but a little more promising what I thought they would be.
Yeah, if you could promise free agency being totally revamped where I could absolutely take advantage of that cap space, if I knew we were going to have some studs hit the market, I knew it would be a more appealing option.
Good point. All right. So with that said, if Nick takes the Dolphins, that obviously leaves me out of who I really want to go with. So Elio slotted me to the Bengals. So I will say this, very high probability that I would absolutely not end up with the Bengals in this scenario. Very, very slim chances, like almost slim to none. But with that said, I'm here at the Bengals. The roster is great. Like, probably, you know, you guys could disagree if you want, but probably a top five roster as far as what Madden is concerned. How do y'all feel about that?
I'm just flipping through the roster right now. Yeah, I mean, they're super juiced, right? You know, a lot to like about that team offensively specifically, and then some pieces on defense. You know, so you have no interest in the Bengals whatsoever, Biz?
Really none. Like,
yeah,
I would have to pick them knowing that I have a deal in place already to move a few pieces. And I just don't see that being realistic.
I would say that, you know, just looking at this list, if you were going to pick an AFC North team, I would definitely peg you for Lamar and the Ravens, because that just fits how your mind operates, I think. But I mean, then again, you just, you know, you have a ton of capital with the Bengals, right? And you could just trade away to make it the team that you wanted. Plus, you have Ja'Marr Chase, who's one of the better wide receivers in the game, probably will be one of the top rated wide receivers next year for sure. So, I mean, it's really not like, you know, even if whoever ends up at the Bengals, it's not like, oh, woe is me, right? Like, you've got a lot to build off of and go from.
For sure.
Yeah, you've shown this season, this cycle, that you've done well with Waddle and Hill. And you've even surpassed expectations with, like, Jordan Love and Tua. So, I mean, you with Burrow, Chase, and, you know, was it Boyd and the other guys? Yeah, I think you would do extremely well here. But let me ask you, so if Miami's gone, how do you prioritize your team selection then? Like, what would you how would you prioritize? Is it like a certain position, strength? Is it, is it roster makeup, like a strength at like a certain position that you desire, or is it like draft capital like Arizona, or like, you know, how would you prioritize that then with Miami gone?
Probably team strength. Like Seattle, right? Good roster all around, got good draft picks. That's probably where I would lean. Heavier on the defensive side. Like, if you've got like a top tier defense, you're probably high up on my wish list as far as teams outside of Miami. That's probably how I would look at it.
And you don't really, from the Seattle perspective, right? The rain doesn't bother you because you're going to basically play every game in rain. Because I mean, that's probably close to what you get in Miami anyway, right?
Yeah, I get tons of rain games in Miami, so I don't think there's a big difference as far as that's concerned. And yeah. I like rain games. I don't think I like snow games, but I think I like rain games.
Yeah, that's probably first I've ever heard anyone admit they like rain games, because it's rough. That game plays so differently when it's, you know, during rain. And I mean, props to you if you like it, if you can do it. Props to you, but man, I hate it. I can't. I guess the talk that there's like a, I guess relocation thing now. So I mean, God, if you're like in you're stuck. I mean, that's stuck with Seattle, but you're stuck with a team that like goes with the elements, you know, and you have the option to move. Man, that's great.
So looking at the rest of the division, it fills out. Brack follows, like, if Brackett does take Baltimore, and then we have Guac following with Cleveland, and then and Pittsburgh falling all the way to Quacks at 30. I think probably the most realistic of those other three is Pittsburgh at 30 to Quacks. I just don't see anybody jumping up and taking this team.
Yeah, I don't either. I know Van talks very negatively about Pittsburgh, and he's a Pittsburgh fan, so I kind of inclined to agree with him. But it would be competitive. You've elevated your game this cycle. Guac tends to play up to his, you know, to Brackett for some reason. I mean, he elevates his game when Brackett comes to town, and I don't know how you and Guac have fared this cycle, you know, historically, but that would be fun to watch that division play out. It looks like it's pretty balanced.
Yes, I think it would be fairly balanced overall. Brackett probably runs that division more often than not. He beat me by like 40 points the other night. So
I don't know, man. You took like two number one seeds in the AFC East. Two AFC number one seeds playing in the AFC East. So, I mean, I would say that you could take the AFC North just as many times as Brackett could, with maybe Guac sneaking in an unlucky one.
Yeah, I think that, again, competition-wise, this is pretty well-balanced, because Guac and Brackett are brothers, right? So there's some extracurriculars going on there, and
I don't think they're brothers. They just live in the same house. I think they're just twins. Honestly,
they just sleep in the same bed. Got it.
It's possible.
Yeah, I don't know the dynamic. I don't know if it's like Brackett married Guac's sister, or
yeah.
I don't know.
Have the two of them ever been in the same division before? I mean, that's a good little side story there. A little extra.
I think they have, right? But I know they'll tend to follow each other, or in every case, Guac follows Brackett. I think that's the case for those two. They're a duo.
Yeah, I think this is the second time they've been in the same division. So I know they do prefer it. I do believe that, given the opportunity, Guac would follow Brackett. So.
I don't know how we haven't heard about any fights, like any physical, like just fist fights, like a dinner table, just smashes someone in the face with a bowl. Yeah, I don't know if I could like play a sibling or, you know, someone related to Madden, especially under the same house. I mean, those tensions have got to run high at some point.
A lot of trash talk for sure.
Like someone sleeping outside, you know, someone's, you know, taking the bus to work.
Big time facts.
Yeah, pissing in someone's Gatorade and putting it back in the fridge.
All right. So looking back at the back to the regular program, he has Rob skipping the Bills and taking the Eagles. What's the thought process behind that? Like, do we agree that that's a realistic possibility? And if it happens, you know, what do we feel about that?
Probably the Eagles, probably the best roster in the game, especially after this draft it had. You know, that roster boost is going to see a significant increase after Rose. Is it Howie Roseman's work there? Rob. I could see him going there, but I think with the acquisition of Dalton Kincaid, and he and I talked, and you know, he's got that Riley Leak history, and he could easily make Kincaid a cycle long story, and maybe not having them, you know, taking a year off of the Bills, maybe and he realizes, hey, that grass may not be greener. You know, he took the Texans for Stingley, and you know, I know he caught some flack for, you know, taking a team just primarily for one player. If there's any team that he probably would pass the Bills for, the Eagles would make sense. I just don't see it. I just see Rob going back to Bills. I mean, Rob being synonymous with the Bills in XFL, that's all I see when I see Rob.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, if he's a Bills fan, right? I don't see him passing on the Bills here. Like, Josh Allen is going to be juiced out of his mind. Rob's going to be running with his quarterback, throwing sidearm touchdown passes 50 yards down the field. And then the Bills, just in general, will catch some residual boosts, right, from having the cover athlete on their squad. So I don't, you know, this is a good year to take him, and he's a Bills fan, had a year off. Seems to me like it makes a lot of sense for him to take that team. And I think there's a couple other Eagles fans later down the line, which might or not play a factor. Rob seems like a pretty reasonable human being, so I think he's probably going to take the Bills. I'm with you guys.
And the good thing about Rob, that he will guarantee that Josh Allen will have a full face mask too, guys.
Yeah.
So if we, you know, assuming that Rob ends up in Philly, the way that Ilio mocks it is nobody jumps into his division until VBD follows with the 15th pick. I personally think that's crazy. No shot at Rob, but you know, his winning percentage is low. And I think whatever division he ends up in, I think it's going to naturally bump some teams up inside of that division. Probably the Giants. And the Cowboys. I think both of those teams would end up going before 15 if Rob ended up in Philly. What do you guys feel?
Oh, I think Rob Solo, you know, Van's going to really highly consider one of those teams. Just seeing Rob there, Van has made it known that he will kind of lean on towards a division that's maybe a little bit easier. A little softer. So, but yeah, I think there's too many appealing options there for that division to wait till 15.
I think it just depends if people want to play with a poor sport or not. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Rob. I got love for you, Rob. No, I agree. I mean, I agree with what you said. You know, I think, most of the lower tier users, myself being one, if we were picking that high, it would probably draw some people in, or they would consider, you know, the remaining teams a little bit quicker than, the other divisions, how they play out with stronger users.
Yes, especially that Giants roster. I think it's underrated, and for them to last until 26, I think that's. I mean, I know we've seen teams, really good teams, drop, but I think they have a lot more appeal than where they're marked at 26. And VBD would run away with his division, right? With Badger, Robin, Rugger.
Yeah, unless Badger creates some type of turnaround that we haven't seen. Rugger's clearly improving, so he'd have to continue that to really compete with VBD. But just going off of historical data, yeah, I think VBD walks away with this division every time.
Agreed. Yeah. Except, I mean, with the caveat that I think Badger doesn't really have a large sample size with anything, right? So you don't know how good he's really going to be at the end of the day. But again, you have to give the nod to VBD with his historical record.
Yeah. You have history with him now. So, I mean, you've seen him quite a few times.
Badger?
No.
I think VBD.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I beat him once. I know I've choked away 2 10-point leads in the fourth quarter against him. Yeah, no, I mean, he's good. Top tier, top dog. No denying that. So, yeah.
And we don't think Jack is going to go back to Washington, right?
I think in this scenario, he might take that opportunity to end up in Washington. So, I mean, since you brought up Jack, looking at this, I actually love the mock with him going to Chicago. I think it's super realistic. They got a young team, great quarterback. He gets to start the division off, and then you know see who falls in line. And they have tons of cap space. It's not as good as the Jets situation, but almost identical. I mean, it's a fair comparison between Chicago and the Jets.
Yeah, and I mean, he can take full advantage of that cap space by only, you know, rostering 5 offensive linemen. I mean, you can get even more cap space.
Tons of cap space.
And then so Boone to Detroit, revival to Green Bay, and speed to Minnesota. I don't know, Boone. I really don't know. I know he's a Tennessee fan. We're in Tennessee. Well, Tennessee lasted until 32, but has Boone mentioned any desire to go back to Tennessee?
I don't think he's mentioned a desire to go back to Tennessee. He has. This is the only thing that I know about Boone. He's not taking ugly jerseys. And he's not following top tier competition. So Jack in this division almost asserts that Boone won't be there. But I think Detroit fits him, just not in this particular scenario.
Yeah, with Jack. Yeah, Detroit's a good roster. flying under the radar here.
There was a tweet just released the other day that the running back Gibbs, they believe he's going to have 95 speed.
Yeah,
like that was the fastest running back in last year's cycle. So if this rookie comes out with 95 speed, that's amazing. I mean.
Yeah, and if I take Detroit, I'm gonna with this new trade, this new 6-spot trade thing, I'm gonna use all 6 to get whatever I can from Sparty for Jameson Williams, and you can get his entire next 3-year draft class for Jameson Williams. So, I mean, there's that appeal if you want to acquire some capital there.
Yeah, some capital from New England.
Yeah. Do you guys think Minnesota lasts till 27?
Hard to say.
Yeah, I guess the Justin Jefferson, I mean, love. I mean, he'll probably be a 99 overall player.
That's definitely a good fit for Speed Racer right there, player-wise. What other appeal do the Vikings have outside of him, right?
Yeah.
But then again, right? Everyone talks that talk about roster, and then you start seeing the divisions form, and you know, then suddenly a team like that, Justin Jefferson 99 overall, becomes way more appealing.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a, although I don't know, I mean, who wants to follow Jack, right? Someone has to purposely do that, so
it's gonna be tough. It's weighing that appeal of Jefferson versus the detraction of Jack being there. So I mean, you gotta weigh your option there.
Yeah, when I looked at the Vikings roster, I was very unimpressed. I mean, they got rid of probably 3 of their top 5 players for the last season. Ended up leaving. They didn't. I don't remember them acquiring a ton of draft picks for it. I don't see the allure in Minnesota at all. Their best defensive players are like 30. Their quarterback is old, which isn't a big deal. And then you've got Jefferson on offense and Hockenson, actually the tight end. So they got a wide receiver and a tight end on offense, and that's really it. So,
yeah. And they didn't draft pick wise. They don't have their futures not mortgaged, right? So I mean, they're pretty much starting off. I would have to look at the picks, but I don't think they're devoid of draft picks in the next 2 years, right?
Yeah, let me see if I got that while y'all was chatting a bit here.
Yeah. I mean, I know we were talking about how old their defense is. I mean, I guess their draft class with Blackman Award at corner and safety, that's appealing. I mean, Jay Ward's what, 6'2"? And height in this league, especially at safety, you know, that's like, and then Jordan Addison. So Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, that's, yeah, that's fun already, but now you've lost Dalvin Cook. So, but I mean, I think anyone could. I think the trio of Addison, Jefferson, and Hockenson. I think that's. I think it's very appealing, and then you could reset at quarterback.
Yeah,
I think Addison is good. I don't think he's a difference maker on in Madden. So, and looking at the draft picks, they acquired a fourth and a fifth for 2024, but they're giving up a third and a seventh. So, their draft situation is worse than ideal.
No, yeah, I mean, not terrible.
It's not awful, but it's you're not even going in with base level picks with them.
What was that third? Well, I forgot they had Hockenson. Was that the third was for him? I can go back and look grades.
Yeah, I'd have to dive a little deeper into why. Yeah. So I just got it marked down what was gained and what was lost here.
Yeah, I mean, those two, I don't know. I could see someone, you know, if someone's on the fence about, you know, two teams, I could see what, you know, those two top tier players putting someone over the edge. Like at the worst case scenario, you have two legitimate weapons.
Yeah.
I don't know how we just skipped down to 27, but. That's cool.
Well, we were inside the division, so we just just touched on the division.
Yeah.
But bringing it back into focus, a division that we skipped as we were touching on a few is the Houston Texans and Neary. I think this is the greatest slam dunk that we have inside the mock. I don't think anybody above him wants the Texans at all, including Nick. And I think he's absolutely sold on taking them.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, he grinded all year, right, to get up, to get to the Texans, rookie quarterback, and he's a fan. So congrats to him.
Yeah, not much chaos for this pick. It's a good year to take the Texans. So they got they killed the draft, and it'll be a fun team. And I just Nyree's what king. I mean, how's he doing with the beta? Is he king of the beta this year too, or
I haven't played him yet? I actually don't have a beta code, so here's to me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then so him taking the Texans. So he's knowingly doing this, knowing. The risk of Jiggy joining him in Indy, which is another slam dunk, non-chaotic mock there. But say you guys are in Nyree's shoes. Would you guys ever make that selection knowing that Jiggy is looking over your shoulder?
Yeah, I mean, I think he, you know, if he's a fan of the game, you know, if he's a fan of the team, and you know, this is a good year to take him, like you said, Pride. You can only hide from the good players, right? You don't, and getting to the parity point, right? It's like you don't get better by not playing. So, you know, you might take a couple L's from Jiggy or a lot of L's, but you probably pick up some things too. That'll help you in other places. So, you know, based off a team and that he's a fan and that he grinded all year to get his team, you know, you love to see that. So I don't think that plays into it at all, right?
Yeah.
And you know, picking that high, like people are going to come behind you that you can't control anyway. Right, so now, I mean, you know, if he ends up with Jiggy, Tosh, and somebody else, that could be troublesome. But at least he's got a team, then, right? He gets to watch his team lose on Sunday, and then lose to Jiggy during the week. No.
So here's the thing: like, he's being dead serious when Neary says he wants Jiggy in his division, like. I have two or three DMs from Neary saying the same thing. Nick's got him. Like, he said it on the podcast. Neary is being dead serious that he wants Jiggy to follow him. So I don't think there's any fear at all in Neary playing the top guys. So,
and he's been to the playoffs a bunch of times, right? You know, he's no chump, right?
And he's won playoff games, so
right.
Hasn't made a Super Bowl, but he's won playoff games, so it's not like he's a slouch, you know.
Put some respect on his name.
It is done. So with that, the hottest thing that I see on here is we got the Titans falling all the way to 32? Is this something that we could foresee happening in the draft with Neary and Jiggy inside this division?
So they'll fall because of roster composition, right? I mean, this is a very unsexy roster, a very boring roster. I mean, I guess Derrick Henry, you know, that's the appeal there. I guess Treylon Burks. That's the only pass catcher I can name on the Titans, and he's going to be pretty pedestrian. I probably can't name more than a couple defensive players like Jeffrey Simmons on defense. So
they have that one. I was going to say they have that one corner pride with 95 speed. I think he's over 6 foot. What's his name? Farley. Yeah, there you go. So he could be appealing too, right? But
yeah, that might be Jack's favorite former player right there. So that's a joke. Yeah, Jack could get it.
I can see them falling to 32 at this point.
That race. I mean, I don't even know who's even. Are there any Titans fans in here?
Boone
is Boone really a Titans fan though, or?
From everything that I see, it sounds like he's really a Titans fan. So, but I don't see him ever picking the Titans when they have a bad roster. I think he'll wait for a good roster and then he'll try to scoop them back up.
Yeah, I'll say that, you know, if I'm picking 27, 28, and Titans are still there, it's probably slim to no chance I would pick them regardless of who's in that division.
Wow. Okay.
Just because of what Pride said is what, I mean, outside of Derrick Henry, who's sick, right?
Yeah. You guys see Will Levis is going to get a decent rating?
Yeah.
I just wonder what kind of a release they give him. I mean, are they going to create a brand new release for him? Because that thing's fat. I watched clips of him. That release is nasty.
Is that what it is? He's got a pretty quick release.
Yeah, he like pulls some clips of him, and he just like flicks it, and it flicks like 60 yards.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, unless you have an attachment to him, right? Like, if I was going to play with a young quarterback like that, I'd rather just play with a generated player. I think, personally. Unless you're Kentucky,
I think that's going to be a stumbling block for many.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about Jacksonville's loaded roster falling to 20?
I think it's a roster. Every cycle team draft, a good roster falls. I think that's one of those roster that it actually makes sense to see it fall, because you're completely expecting Jiggy to end up in Indy. So who really wants to, you know, who's really chomping at the bit to get inside of that division? I could see it. I could see that one slipping and falling.
Yeah. And this is one of those things where we're talking about parity, but you would kind of hope that the roster difference between Indy and Jacksonville is pretty significant. And the user, you know, you get a decent user and end your business mark there. That roster should make a big difference when it comes to, you know, it should kind of make up for the skill level difference between Jiggy and say NWS, you know, that roster. So you would kind of hope that maybe the attributes could help, you know, a game like, you know, their head to head matchups. So I'm just curious to see how this game ends up, how next cycle ends up, if the attributes are really going to matter. Cause I mean, you could steamroll with that Jags roster on, honestly, it's nasty. It's fast. And it's fun.
Yeah, I will say this before we jump over to the next division. I could see Van loading up this division here and having it completely full before Jiggy gets a chance to take Indy. Right? Like I said, the only way that I believe somebody takes Indy is if they can fill that whole division. With Neary going, Texans at 5 for sure, I think Van could convince two other people to jump into that division for what Van determines to be the soft division, and having it full before it gets to Jiggy at 14.
So Van has a coalition.
Yeah, dirty politics.
he dropped it in the chat the other day. I sent out my emails to my division mates. So I mean it's there. And then Rob fired back like I got the DM. Just say no. So
well, Jiggy's grinding though too. Like he's just pumping out content each week. You know, he's doing videos. He's got articles. So, you know, don't be surprised if he makes a move. Right, where's he at right now? 14.
14. You know? Yeah.
I mean, who knows? You know, I don't know. The point rankings themselves are kept private, right? So you don't really know how close he is. But I mean, you know, the rate at which he's producing content compared to some of the other people in this area, you know, he could leapfrog them here.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're Nairi, would you take that a little personal, knowing that Van has the coalition of the soft coming into your division? Van is basically saying, hey, guys, this is the cupcake division. Let's go fill it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take it personal, but, you know, Nairi may.
I want that heat in chat.
Yeah, me too. I want to watch that.
The meltdown unfolds.
It could get hot pretty quick. It would be entertaining to see it happen.
I want to see it get personal. I want to see like threats. I want to see like right. like threats of flying out to Vancouver.
The question is, do you take it personal if Van sends you the DM that says, "Hey, you want to join my division?"
No, you say, "Hell yeah, I'm in. Let's do it."
Because you know if you get in the DM, you know how he feels about you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I didn't know we were that close.
All right. Let's jump over to a new division. Let's swing on over to the NFC West. Because in the team, Mike, he's got Grizz jumping over to the Cardinals, obviously, because the Eagles are gone. So he's
Which
got
is a bummer for Grizz, right? Because Grizz is
sure.
the Eagles man.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got Grizz at the Cardinals. I think he's a pretty good fit if he doesn't get the Eagles, which I don't think is happening. But if he doesn't get the Eagles, I can see that as a reasonable fit for him.
Yeah. Just I mean Kyler alone. I mean he's a fun Madden player, but I guess they have like they're loaded with draft picks, right?
I don't think they're overloaded with draft picks. I think it's just like a really pretty normal setup, like nothing special. I'm talking as I'm clicking through to find the Cardinals roster.
They have 11. They have 11 picks, 2 firsts, 1 second, and 3 thirds in the next draft.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So I think that's the appeal. I mean, Isaiah Simmons, Kyler Murray, and then just a slew of draft picks. So them going to the top 10. Yeah, I could definitely say, especially if you value your roster build up to start with the guys like a stud quarterback and a Madden freak like Isaiah Simmons.
I mean, I think there's a ton of draft picks, that's before you unload anybody. So I think that's pretty that Cardinals team is probably appealing to the majority of owners here, right? Like it has to be just because of the way people are just draft whores.
I haven't really revealed, you know, who my top teams are, like Buffalo, but I would consider Arizona as a top option for me. And then Elio, of course, Elio would mock himself the one of the best teams in the game with Seattle. So, I see Seattle going earlier than 9.
Yeah, I see Seattle going just slightly sooner than that. I think Jack right there at 8 makes a lot of sense. I'm gonna say it. You can mute your mic so you don't laugh or chuckle or give anything away. I could see Pride taking him at 7, and Grizz at 6. I think really the only people that wouldn't take them would be I don't think Brackett, Rob or Nairi end up there. So those are the people above Elio that I believe would take them is everybody but Brackett, Rob, and Neri.
That's a very accurate assumption for me. So,
oh, thanks for confirming. I was trying to hide your true identity, but hey.
Nope. I'll be transparent. I got nothing to hide.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's, you know, the teams fall where the teams fall at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, good division, I think. I don't have anything else to add there.
Yeah. So, looking at it, I know King of the Beast is starting up his game real soon. If he hasn't started already.
I'm already in it, so that's sorry. A little distracted on that last note, but keep it moving.
I got the alert. So, we got two divisions that we haven't touched on yet. The NFC South and the AFC West. Let's jump over to the AFC West because this has Vans in there, and he's a great talking point. Since you know, this is the division. I want to ask this question. It's got Van ends up at KC, which is a fantastic team. ARV is Denver. Nick Banks is the Chargers, and Irek ends up with the Raiders. Is this a division that Van would be excited to have? Like, would he consider this a soft division?
No, I don't think so. I mean, for scheduling alone, right? He would flip shit because Airv's where in Amsterdam in Europe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're like on opposite sides of the world there. And I think Van even said on a podcast he doesn't like playing Eubanks. So, and then you got Irek, who's going to be a tough game every single game. So, that's a tough division right there, I think. From on a couple different levels, right? From scheduling and playing. But you guys have stacked AC roster, so that, you know, I could also see that happening.
Yeah, I think this is the division where Nick would get the most rage DMs from. The games between Van and Irek. Oh man. It's gonna be fire. It's just fireworks. I mean, they're both so grumpy. just Madden kills them, you know, the breaks, the, you know, as Biz say, the blessings. And
I've literally never used that word when discussing Madden. That's you, right? Every time I win, I get that message from you. So that's
but yeah, it would be, I don't know. Yeah, I think that Airbnb Van obstacle is tough. Ira plays late, so him and Van would line up well. Does Nick play late? Nick Eubanks?
I think he plays. He plays like all over. He's pretty open, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I mean, outside of ARV, but honestly, I was in ARV schedule. I mean, division, and it was very easy to schedule him. I think Van has some scheduling flexibility, so I think they can overcome that. But yeah, I mean, I think ARV would fit the soft stereotype that Van would require.
Okay.
This is definitely not his coalition of the soft here, though.
I would agree with that. So I'm looking at this division, KC, Chargers, top two teams. Which roster would you consider better, the Broncos or the Raiders?
I think probably the Raiders, because is Denver still paying for that Russell Wilson deal, like draft wise?
Yeah, that thing is pretty ugly.
Yeah, I think I would that I would prioritize the Raiders over the Broncos merely for that reason.
Yeah,
and then I think.
Which it's not bad. They're only losing a second in this upcoming draft, a second and a sixth, which isn't bad.
That's not bad. But, no.
Yeah, but they are $31 million in the hole after year one. So,
yeah, navigating that Russell Wilson deal. I mean, gosh, everything just stems off that Russell Wilson acquisition, and it just sours that whole team. So that I think them going at 21 is a bit generous, probably then. I could see them falling a little further. But Surtain, Surtain is, I mean, he's going to be nasty.
Sick, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, as much as I'm making a case against them, I'm now making a case for them. I mean, Surtain and those, Judy and, you know, those receivers are pretty good too.
Yeah. Is Surtain, is he still in on the Broncos and in the league now? How did I, he must have been traded. I missed him in that natural rookie video then.
I think he is. I think Guac kept him. I believe he did. I want to say, I just faced him. So I believe I, you know, I think he picked me off twice. Yeah, never mind.
I will confirm here in a second.
I think he might have picked me off a couple times. Oh, man. But yeah, okay. So Denver's not that bad, but I still do see them dropping a little further than 21.
For sure. All right. Yeah. We'll confirm Surtain is still on the Broncos.
All right. So with that last division, we'll touch on it, and then we'll go ahead and get out of here. NFC South. We got the first team going is the Panthers with JMO at 10, and nobody else is picked until pick 22, which is Ty Pot, who takes the Falcons. We've got King of the Beast going Tampa Bay, and Tosh going New Orleans. So we'll start this off real simple. King of the Beast, would you take Tampa Bay?
Maybe. I mean,
let me tell you who's left. We're gonna make this we're gonna be live right now.
Yeah. All right.
Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
The Saints.
Yeah.
The Titans.
Uh-huh.
The Rams.
Oof. Yeah, probably Tampa Bay then. I mean, I guess New Orleans, they're a dome team. They're a little bit appealing, black on blacks, right? Roster wise, they probably have a lot to do, but that's okay. You know, I'm a little biased because, right, it's like I'm not really worried about losing since I lose all the time anyway. So, and I'm not really going to have much of a choice. You know, I've been trying to move up just so I can have, like, maybe if there's a spot open in each division, I can at least pick a division, right? So I'm not pigeonholed into you know, a couple teams, but you know, I would say, yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay is probably good, maybe New Orleans. You know, I do like the way this division played out. I think it's a pretty good division. Tosh is probably obviously the favorite, but I think me and JMO have similar schedules. Ty Pod is pretty open. I've had good games with him, and then Tosh, who I actually beat, but that was, we'll call that a fluke. Just call it what it was, right? I have a terrible lifetime record against him. But yeah, I mean, it came out pretty good, I think. I think this would be a pretty competitive division, like competitive-wise. JMO seems to be historically one of the better players, right? So he could, you know, he'll go head-to-head with Tosh. I don't know if Carolina's a team that's in his, you know, I do think Atlanta will probably go a little earlier. And, you know, Tosh is going to be on the back end of everything. So he's just going to be... Somebody is going to be unhappy to see him, you know, Tosh is going to land in somebody's division, and, you know, there's going to be people praying towards the end of the team draft there that, like, oh, you know, hoping for me or Tide Pod, you know, or one of the other newer guys to take that open team in their division so it doesn't slide to Tosh. Someone's heart's going to be broken.
That's a pretty good point. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah. It's like Russian roulette at the end there, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see you picking 28 though. I just that preview you did, man. That good God. I'm very excited to see your final product, but yeah, I don't see you. I don't even see Tosh. Tosh has been churning out some content too. So I guess it just depends if the other teams at the bottom decide to churn out content of their own too. But yeah, I can see you and Tosh jumping up to where you guys have more of a say in where you land ultimately. And
like, I will say that, you know, sorry to interrupt there, Pride, but I, you know, I am a Jets fan, right? So like they're the team I want, doubt they'll be there. But so after that, I really, you know, I'll make any team work, right? Like hopefully, you know, ideally one that doesn't have their future mortgaged, right? And then some cool, you know, black on black specifically is really what I'm looking for. Because at least I don't know, it looks sweet. So yeah, I mean Tampa Bay, cool. I mean, I don't know how I haven't played Tampa Bay too much, but the weather is it like Miami? Like, do you just get rain games constantly down there? Because that would be, I mean, I don't mind the rain games as much as you guys hate them, but like, it doesn't mean I want to play in it every single home game.
I think it has its fair share of weather, you know, related
yeah
games. So
And then two dome teams in the division, so that's cool too.
Yeah. Yeah, so you do get your – I guess you do get a break from it. And it's not going to rain, eight times? You're not going to get eight home rain games a year, so.
Correct. I mean, even in Miami, I get one or two, so.
Right.
Now, do you think Carolina is that appealing to go as high as number 10?
Yeah.
I agree, yeah. I see them being a hot team.
Yeah, I mean they got I like their color scheme, you know. They got a good young quarterback. Not sold on the offense. But their defensive front four is loaded. And they've got speed at corner. And Jeremy Chan. So yeah, I mean, I think their defense holds them up.
That D-end on that team, was he naturally 95 speed? Barno, I think his name is. Or was how did he get to that point? Did he get boosts? Because that's just juiced out of his mind.
He may have came in at 92 and got boosted to 95 with speed, but he didn't get a speed can't a manual adjustment or anything, unless Nick was under the table type stuff. But we'll let Nick answer that.
No, I wasn't suggesting that, but I was just wondering how he got to 95 speed. I mean, even 92 for a defensive lineman is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, King of the Beast was like, keep my name out of that comment.
Yeah.
No, that's secondary. I mean, we've all seen what Nick did with that secondary, but I mean, that's you nailed it. That secondary is if someone prioritizes secondary, as being one of the most important parts of an initial roster, Carolina's probably one of the best options.
Who puts a high emphasis on defensive backs? Brackets. High emphasis.
Yeah, I could see that being an appeal. Oof.
Man. Well, I don't want to drag this on too long. It already went a little longer than what we anticipated, but it did bring out some. I felt like the conversation was great. Probably going to force me to drop my own mock draft now that we've had this conversation, flesh some things out. Fellas, how do you feel about this little podcast today?
I feel good about it. It's good having a midday pod. It just shows how unemployed we are all capable of being. And
some of us are on the clock, Pride.
Yeah, easy, easy there, Killer. You're
no, it was fun though. It's fun. I know people are kind of hankering for more as more pods are being released. And I know we have all had really conflicting schedules. I think KOTB has been leading the charge on trying to get one of these pods together for at least 2 weeks, honestly. It's good that we were all able to find a hole in our schedules today and hopefully climb the boards. But KOTB, when is your project going to be released?
Yeah, I was hoping. Well, it keeps getting pushed back, right? I'm still now in gathering stat stage here. So I was shooting for the end of the season.
Okay.
And that's realistic, but things change, right? If we didn't stop playing so many, if we didn't have to play Madden every day, I'd be able to spend more time on it, right? No, kidding. I mean, the content's been fun, right? That's one thing this league does. I will say, I'm still one of the newer guys in the league, but one thing this league does better than other leagues I've been in the past is the extracurriculars, right? They've created this economy with the user points, with all the sports book and Vegas and all the other type of stuff. So that's really cool to see. It's a great job of keeping people engaged, especially this late in the cycle. And I started playing a little later, so I'm not as burnt out as most guys, but just impressive at how fast these games are being cranked out at this late stage in this game, or season, cycle, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's impressive having 32 guys who are still, I want to say, rabid. Maybe 31. I'm really honestly beaten down by this game at this point. But for us to go season 8 and the advanced are still 36 hours, you know, 38 hours, 42 hours. It's still impressive that there's no slowdown. We were on DHU. We were done by what, December, January? Yeah. We were dragging ass at that point. So I mean, it's impressive seeing this continue into June, the middle of June now, and we're all, I mean, we're going to go into the next cycle, and I'm hoping we end sooner, but.
I mean, the other thing, you know, I'll just add on this is like, you know, most of the games, like even for the bottom end users are still like competitive. Like, I think, I mean, this year I'm like, you know, I don't have a good record, but like the 7 or 8 games have been one possession games. So like, you know, obviously the elite tier is going to be the elite tier. You're always going to have those guys. But for the most part, like, I mean, there's a lot of competition. You see a lot, if you look at the scores, you see a lot of competitive games, or you watch the streams, you see, you know, games are close 3 quarters in, right? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's like, you know, also comforting to see, especially when you're losing 60 games or whatever my record is. So great league.
Yeah. All right,
Biz. Fellas, it's been a great time. We're going to go ahead and end this. Hope y'all enjoyed the podcast. Get at you soon.